I'm excited because every new year gives us new opportunities, new blessings, new challenges. You know, sometimes we're focused on the wrong things. We don't see the year as an opportunity to experience the goodness of the Lord, the blessings of the Lord. You know why? Because sometimes we're so focused already on the negative things. That is why it's important that as a believer, as a church, as a family, so we look at the new year as God's new opportunity of blessing us, blessing you, and pouring His blessings upon you. You know, I thought it's a letter for me. Thank you. For what kind? That's why I've chosen a theme for this year, 2018. I know that maybe 2017 was not the best year for you, or 2017 may not be the most exciting year for you, but 2018, I look forward to this year with this theme in my heart, so we can all live victoriously. And that's the theme that God has placed in my heart based on 1 Corinthians 15, 57, 58. It says, and it is in our bulletin, it says here, but thanks be to God, He gives us victory, the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. You know, you don't stop on verse 57 by simply saying, but thanks be to God because of the victory, or thanks be to God, He gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You don't end there, because the chapter didn't end in verse 57. You have to go through the verse 58, which says, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. God didn't give you, or God is not going to give you victories for nothing. When God gives us victory, He's using it for a better cause, for a better purpose. That is why when we thank God for whatever victories, I know that for some of you, you have received blessings of the Lord, year 2017. So you do not just end by simply thanking the Lord for your blessing. Use your blessing for the glory of God. Use your blessing for the furtherance of His glory or His kingdom, because God's desire is for us to live victoriously. Maybe in some way you've been defeated, but you don't have to continually live a defeated life. God wants us to live victoriously as a child of God. You know, someone has said that before every major breakthrough is a setback. And I like that. Before every major breakthrough is a setback. Sometimes God may allow and will allow some setbacks. Why? Because He's preparing you for a breakthrough in your life. And so you don't simply give up, you don't simply quit, simply because you are confronted or you are faced with a setback or with a seeming challenge or big challenge in your life. Remember, we worship a great God. We worship a living God. And because we worship a great and living God, we can always look and live a life of victory. And this morning, as I begin this new series, I will not be preaching on 1 Corinthians 15, 57, because God has placed a passage in my heart that talks about God's plan for our lives. Who among you believe that God has a plan for you? We may be many in terms, or we may be different in terms of ethnicity, but it doesn't mean that God has no plan for you. God has a plan for each and every one of us. That is why it's important that you do not just live Try to live your life with a purpose. Try to do God's purpose. Try to fulfill God's purpose and follow God's plan for your life. Because the best way to experience God's best in your life is to live it according to God's purpose and plan. That is why it's important that as we begin this year, it would be great for us to be focused on the right things. I remember this statement mentioned by John F. Kennedy in his book, Profiles in Courage. So John F. Kennedy wrote, "Great crises produce great men and great deeds of courage." That sometimes in the midst of our great crisis, God is able to produce great men. And while it is true that a crisis helps to make a person, it is also true that a crisis helps to reveal what a person is made of. I'm sure nobody is made of steel. None of us is made of steel. We're not supermen. We're not superwomen. But that doesn't mean that we cannot be great for God's kingdom. One particular example in the Bible is Pilate. When Pilate was faced with great crisis, remember when the Lord Jesus Christ was brought before him, he had the opportunity to do something right. He was faced with a crisis, but instead of doing what is right, the way he handled his crisis did not even show courage or greatness on his part. He ended up doing what the people wanted him to do, and he was pressured by the people to do something that was against his heart. And you know, how we handle the difficulties of life will depend largely on what kind of character we have. For what life does to us depends on what life finds in us. Let me repeat that. For what life does to us depends on what life finds in us. If God is going to look into your heart this morning, what does God see? Does he see a heart full of excitement? Does he see a heart full of hope, knowing and believing that you can trust the same God who sustained you, who carried you throughout the year 2017? You know, crisis and circumstances may discourage us. Sometimes people will oppose us, and sometimes people will also misunderstand us. But we don't have to fail. We don't have to lose in terms of our perspective. In fact, God has encouraged us and reminded us that we can overcome, that we can be victorious. Yes, we are in a war, and from every vantage point, you might think that the devil is winning. You may see a flicker of hope or a flicker of fiery revival, and then suddenly it becomes a smoke. You may see a church spring up, then it suddenly dies. Even in our own hearts, sometimes we find ourselves so passionate about doing something, but as the year goes, as the months passes, or as the months pass, you will see that passion begin to die down. By and large, we see some Christians becoming defeated and discouraged, and they call it battle fatigue, and they just simply want to throw in the towel and say, I don't want this. I don't want this anymore. I just want to give up. And we see some Christians having that kind of spirit. But you know, we're not doing things for men. We are not trying to live your life for someone or for somebody else. You live your life for the Lord. And sometimes we have to understand that as we confront all these different challenges around us, somebody has said, you see, we are confronted up against the organized the mobilized and the demonized forces of hell. But the word of God says in Romans 8:37, know in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. We are more than conquerors. God's desire for you, God's desire for me, and God's plan for His church is to have and experience a life of victory, because in Christ we are more than conquerors. That's why we ought to be able to say, just like the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God, He gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that it is time for every child of God not simply to believe in what God has said, to believe in what God has done, but to believe that victory is promised to those who love the Lord and to those who are willing to live for His glory. In fact, somebody has said, we do not fight for victory. That's not our goal. We do not fight for victory. We fight from victory. And you know, that victory is the victory that Jesus Christ accomplished when He rose from the grave. We don't have to fight for victory. We are already victorious. And the mindset that we need to always have is that whatever challenge, whatever battle we are facing, that we are already fighting from victory. That is why it's important that we always believe in this promise. That's why this morning I'd like to begin a series entitled God's Plan for Victory. God's Plan for Victory. Maybe the reason some Christians are not being victorious is because they do not know the plan. Now, have you ever done something and you ask people around you, so what's the plan? Everything is said and you don't know what the plan is. And the person whom you ask, what's the plan, would answer you, oh, just tag along. You cannot just live your life tagging along. You have to know the plan. And you know God's plan is? God's plan for His children is to live a life of victory. If you're living a life of defeat and you're allowing the devil to give you that kind of mindset, it's about time that you change your mindset and say, thanks be to God, He gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You cannot do anything about the past, you just have to let it go. That's the reason God ushered us into another year. In 2018, not to bring and carry what has been in 2017, 2018 should be a good year, or should be a better year, because we know and we will be learning what God's plan for victory is in our lives. There are three parts to this study. In God's plan for victory, first is the mandate for victory. Second, we will be looking at the method for victory. And then thirdly, you will be looking at the measure of victory. The measure of victory. And so let's begin, and we'll be looking at our main text this morning, which is found in 2 Kings chapter 3, 13. In 2 Kings chapter 13, 14 through 19, allow me to read this portion of the scripture that says, verse 14, 2 Kings chapter 13, beginning from verse 14. The word of God says, now Elisha was suffering from illness from which he died. Joash, king of Israel, went down to see him and wept over him. My father, he cried. The chariots and horsemen of Israel. Elisha said, get a bow and some arrows. And he did so. Take the bow in your hands, he said, to the king of Israel. Then he said, when he had taken it, Elisha put his hands on the king's hands. Open the east window, he said, and he opened it. Shoot, and Elisha said, or shoot, Elisha said, and he shot. The Lord's arrow of victory. I want you to underline that in your Bible. The Lord's arrow of victory, the arrow of victory over Aram, Elisha declared. You will completely destroy the Arameans and the Agag. Then he said, take the arrows. And the king took them. Elisha told him, strike the ground. He struck it 3 times and stopped. The man of God, Elisha, was angry with him and said, you should have struck the ground 5 or 6 times. Then you would have defeated Aram and completely destroyed it. But now you will defeat it only 3 times. You may not completely understand what the conversation was all about. And if you were able to observe it, it didn't start in something positive. Can you imagine the start of the verses? And Elisha was suffering from illness. How do you like to start a year being sick? And not just sick, the Bible says that he was going to die. And you might be asking, Pastor, what is the positive side of that? You've been talking about being victorious all of a sudden. The first part of the story says, and Elisha was very sick, and he's going to die. You know, that's the last thing you want to hear. That's the last thing you want to hear. That's why some people don't want to see the doctor. Even if they already feel a lot in their bodies, they still would rather not see a doctor. Why? Because you don't want to hear what the doctor is going to tell you. Especially when the doctor starts shaking his head, looking at your chart. Even if the doctor is not saying any word yet, by his expression and action, you can already feel the beat in your heart. This is not going to be good. And that's how the story started in our passage. At this part of the story, Elisha is about, maybe he was around 80 years of age, as Bible commentators say. He had ministered as a prophet of God through the reign of 4 kings. And now he is old and sick in a little cottage in the capital city of Samaria. And it's, no comparison cannot be compared with the forces of the Arameans. He was desperate. That's the reason he went to Elisha, seeking for God's wisdom. But what he saw made him more desperate, to the point that when he saw Elisha, all he could do was to weep. Can you imagine one king seeking to find comfort, finding a prophet of God in a more desperate situation? What comfort and encouragement can you find in this situation? You may not be seeing anything. Maybe if you were present during that time, now you would be whispering to yourself, this is not good. I don't think even the prophet could help the king in this, at that particular moment. Yet, continue reading the passage would tell you that even though Elisha was already sick, he can still be the dependable supporter of King Joash or Jehoash. But my point is this. Sometimes when we see our situation, and you might be thinking, oh, I don't think there's anything that I could hope for in my situation, and we have to understand that sometimes God would allow a desperate situation. God may sometimes put us in a seemingly impossible, serious situation, not because, and always remember this, not because he wants to see you suffer. God's purpose, even when we are going through a desperate situation, or even though we are going through a serious situation, is not to hurt us, or it's not to make our situation worse. Sometimes God will allow situations like this so that we can be reminded that our God can still be a dependable God. That we can still trust the Lord. Remember last week when I shared about trusting the Lord with all your heart? Trusting the Lord means you have to put all your weight on Him. We must be willing, and we must be willing to put our way, because sometimes we want to carry our way. Sometimes our pride will tell us, I don't want people to know this. I just want myself to carry this. Sometimes the situation can be so desperate that you will end up just like King Joash or Jehoash. Now when he saw Elisha, all he could do was to weep. You know, weeping is different from simply crying or shedding tears. The idea is that when you weep, it shows you how difficult, how desperate your situation is. And have you ever seen a baby cry? The cry baby, they would say. Sometimes when a baby is desperate and nothing is happening, now he or the baby would just keep on weeping or crying. That's the idea or the picture that we find here, that when King Joash saw Elisha in that desperate situation, all he could do was to weep. Let me ask you, have you ever wept because of a desperate situation? You know, I do not know what's going on in your life, but maybe you are in a situation where you think nothing good is going to come out of it. Or you may be confronted with a situation where you feel this is just simply hopeless. I have prayed, I have approached God, I have asked the Lord, I have asked prayers, I have done a lot of things, but nothing seems to be happening. It's just simply desperate. Let me tell you this. God is allowing you to experience a desperate situation to remind you, just like what the Apostle Paul said, that in your weakness, He will be your strength. That when you are weak, that's the best opportunity to experience the power of God. And in times of our desperate situations, God will allow us, or God will remind us, that first, that we need His help. And that we need to redirect whatever focus or attention we have on the wrong things to Him alone. And when a desperate situation happens in our life, don't ever forget that God is and will always be on His throne. I like what Psalms 46 verse 10 says. It says there, be still and know that I am God. You don't have to do anything. God is saying, don't even move. You've been moving so much already. You've been doing so much already. God says, it's about time you still. You be still. Be still and know that I am God. You know, human as we are, we don't want to be still. Try to tell a 2-year-old child, be still. What? Be still. It's difficult to be still. You think it's hard for a child to be still? Ask an adult. I just cannot be doing nothing, Pastor. I get most tired standing still. I get more sleepy doing nothing. Sometimes one person even, you know, sometimes God would even make you sick, so that you can rest. So that you can rest your body. Because God knows when we're not sick, we always want to be on the go. We want to do things on our own. We want to do things in our strength. We just want to accomplish things on our own. Until, you know, we are in a situation where God is nowhere to be found in all our plans, in all our activities. That's why it's important that whenever you find yourself in a situation that you may call it desperate, there's nothing wrong to weep. Remember that, weeping is something that God has allowed us to have, to experience. Don't ever think that when you're weeping, that you're weak. No. Even you know, doctors would tell you that weeping has its own benefits. Right? When you weep, it creates some cleansing in your eyes. It provides lubrication. So, if you feel like weeping when you're in a desperate situation, just let it go. Not the snow. Weeping is not a sign of weakness. Weeping can be a time. It can be a sign, you know, of just pouring your heart to the Lord. You know, I don't know, when was the last time that you were just alone? Maybe in a room or in a place. And you feel so heavy in your heart. You feel so depressed. You know, sometimes we have loved ones in the Philippines or in some parts of the world. Just like this morning while I was eating breakfast, somebody messaged me and said, "Pastor, please pray for my wife. She's been in the hospital for more than 2 months in comatose. Please, Pastor, help us pray." I'm sure that this person looks at this situation as desperate. Because he was not expecting that by just simply going to a hospital for a minor surgery, all of a sudden, his wife was in a comatose situation, and for more than 2 months, he's been there, or she's been there. And it's not easy. Sometimes the only way to feel a desperate situation is to be in a desperate situation. But when you see somebody in a desperate situation, as Christians, I think that the best thing that we can do is to pray for that person. And sometimes to even do something more than just simply praying. Maybe you could give that person a call. Or you can do something else just to encourage that person. Because that's the thing that we find here. It's not just a desperate situation. The next part in the mandate for victory is you find a dependable supporter or a dependable support in the person of Elisha. That's the reason, you know, King Joash went to Elisha, because he was also desperate. Yet when he saw the situation of Elisha, all he could do was to weep. He even said here, you know, when he saw Elisha and weep, he said, my father, he cried, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. You know, that particular statement, that phrase, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel, meant that men of Elisha's caliber were the truest and best defense of the people of Israel. That was an expression. In fact, Elisha himself used that same phrase. He used that same phrase in 2 Kings chapter 2, 11 and 12. And so, in 2 Kings chapter 2, 11 and 12, it says there, as they were walking and talking together, no, referring to Elisha and Elijah, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up to heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and horsemen of Israel. And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his clothes and tore them apart. So that particular expression, my father, it's just showing you the kind of attachment the King Joash had with Elisha. Elisha had with Elijah. Why? Because that phrase means the truest and defense, or the truest and best defense of the people of Israel. And you know, it's also important because as human beings, It's always a great encouragement and comfort when you have someone beside you when you're going through a desperate situation. When there are people around you who can encourage you instead of criticizing you, or if there are people around you who are willing to pray with you instead of judging you, and this is the kind of encouragement we all need, that we need to have that dependable support coming from, sometimes coming from the very people that we care, or the very people that are around us, because it brings greater encouragement when we have someone that we can depend on. That's why I couldn't blame King Joash when he saw Elisha, because he went there for encouragement, but what he saw broke his heart to the point that it made him weep. Can you imagine a king weeping? I don't think that you will understand, because especially during that time, for a king to weep is just a sign of great weakness. And sometimes, even in our times, if you're a parent, you don't want to weep in front of your kids. Or you don't want to weep in front of people. Sometimes you would rather weep alone. You would rather hide in a closet. Or you would rather hide sometimes in a bathroom or in the comfort room and weep and pour your heart to the Lord. But King Joash, upon seeing the condition of Elisha, because remember, he was very sick. And King Joash knew that sickness would bring Elisha to death. And so he had nobody. He had nobody to go to. He had no one to find encouragement to, that all he could do was to simply weep. And I hope and pray that this can be a good reminder to us. We all need dependable support from people around us, people who can be true to us, and people who are willing to defend us. That's the idea that King Joash had when he said these words, "My father, my father." And this is something that we all wish we could have around. Sometimes our family, the family members, can be our best encouragement during difficult times. Friends, especially Christian friends, can be our true encouragement in the midst of desperate situations. But you know, sometimes we fail to see how people can be dependable during difficult times. People that we can trust. People that we can depend upon. People who are willing to defend us. I hope and pray that this is something that we could really encourage ourselves doing. Because we need this. As a church, some of us are far from our family. Some of us, the only family that we know are friends in our church. Or the people that are around. Some of you, most of your family members may be in the Philippines. And when you hear one of your family members in the Philippines sick, sometimes you get desperate. You just want to give as much as you can because you want to fill up your absence. But always remember this, that whenever you see a person in a desperate situation, be a dependable support. Be a true friend. Be willing to stand with the person. Be willing to go an extra mile. Be willing to defend if need be. Because this is something that we all need to encourage us. You know, as a church, we also have ministries that can provide encouragement. For some of you, you may not be aware that every week a group of people are praying together. But this is not an exclusive group. We have a prayer group. But this prayer group is open to everyone. You know, it saddens my heart that some people have stopped attending prayer meeting, maybe because the Lord has already answered their prayer. But you know, when God answers your prayer, the more that you need to be part of the prayer group. Why? Because you're not the only person who needs prayer. There are other people in our church who need prayer. And being present, you know, in a corporate prayer is your way of saying, I'm standing with the church. I'm standing with the people in need. I'm standing and going to pray with the people. Don't let your hearts die down simply because you don't need anything. You should be thankful if the Lord has already answered your prayer, but it's your turn. Now it's your turn to pray for someone. Now it's your turn to be able to stand with someone and pray with someone. I don't think that there can be a legit reason for not being able to pray again. Because sometimes malls, when you go to the mall, it's farther. Can you imagine when you go to the mall, you have to spend? When you go to the mall, you have to eat. And you know the worst part about going to the mall? You buy. Even when you don't plan to buy. You don't plan, and you say, no, I'm not going to buy anything. Then you went home with five bags. Why? I hope you will not buy anything. Oh, I'll have saved. The post-Christmas sale. You don't plan on buying anything, but you end up buying so much. Can you imagine that? When you go to a prayer group, you don't buy anything. The pastor will not say, okay, at the end of our prayer meeting, please come to me. I have some things that I need you to buy. Nothing to buy, but everything to gain. Have you ever experienced the blessing of praying for someone? You know, when you pray for someone and you heard that the Lord answered that prayer, you will be one of the happiest people. You know, one of the joys that I have as a pastor is when I pray for people who are longing to have kids. And we pray for them and then the Lord would answer. For me as a pastor, that's my greatest joy. When somebody tells me, Pastor, can you please pray for my child? Can you please pray for my desperate situation? And when we pray and the Lord answers, and you know you're part of that group that prays, you cannot contain the joy. Don't miss the opportunity to be a dependable support for someone. You don't have to announce, oh, I pray for you. You don't have to do that. But you know, just to be there and to pray with a group of people, the joy. Remember this, praying has never and will never be a waste of time. A 1 hour of prayer will be your greatest hour for the day. Because you know you prayed with someone. Can you imagine the blessing? That's why when King Joash looked at Elisha's situation, his heart melted that he could not help but weep. That's why I hope and pray that when you hear that someone, one of our members, one of our people are going through something, that the first response that you will do is to pray for that person. Pray for that person. And then you go an extra mile. I'll be part of a prayer group. And I will pray. And I will make mention of his name together with the group and we will pray together. Or be part of any of our life groups. This Friday we'll have a life group. More than the lesson that we are learning, to be able to be part of a life group and be part of a family in your own community is a blessing. Don't ever use the excuse to God, Lord, I don't have time for you. God has given us equal time. God has given us equal opportunities. Sometimes we don't just want to be a dependable support to others. Remember this. One day, you will also need a support. one day you will also need rain. And if you care to pray for someone else, that someone else will be also, we will also take time to pray for you. And so make it a part of your habit as a believer, not just to be an individual Christian. Be part of a group where you can grow. Take time to be part of a group where people can pray for you. It's not about the number, but it's about the heart of people praying together. The Word of God says, whether two or three are gathered in my name, God's presence is already there. You may call it a requirement from the Lord. But what God is simply saying, it's not about the number. It's about the heart of the people who are willing to gather together for His name. Because if you're going to find an excuse, I tell you, you will always have an excuse. But can you imagine this? What if God makes His own excuse? Would you like God to make an excuse? Lord, I need this. No, you don't. I don't have time for you. You never had time for me. What would you think if God makes that excuse? I don't think it would make you feel good. Lord, no, I'm in a desperate situation. I don't care. Because sometimes that's the kind of attitude we are showing to us. I don't care. As long as it's not me, I don't care. But that's what it means to become a dependable support to other people. You know, the best part about our God, I'm sure we all have friends. We all have acquaintances. We all have BFFs or close friends. But you know, the Word of God says in Proverbs 18:24, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And that's the best part. We have a friend who sticks closer than a brother. And you know, many Bible teachers believe that that friend is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't ever think that nobody cares for you, because God cares for you. And whatever burden you're carrying in your heart right now, you can depend upon Him. You can trust the Lord. You can depend upon the Lord. And I guarantee you that God will help you and God will sustain you. So let me end with this point this morning. A great pastor once said, by the name of Adrian Rogers, he said, you know, there are three steps for every great fortune or great event in a person's life. First is that one generation generates. Second, another generation speculates. Then the third generation dissipates. You know, my fear and my concern is that many of us belong to the second and the third generation. No, we are just part of the speculators. And the worst is that when you belong to the generation of those that dissipate, those that are just slowly fading, dissipating because they don't want to be part of it. Be part of the first generation. That generation that generates. We want God's best. We want to be victorious. We want to live victoriously. Then, know God's mandate for victory. Don't dwell on your desperate situation. God is allowing you. Rather, be a dependable support. Next week, I'll talk about what is God's divine solution. Under that mandate for victory, there's a divine solution. Remember this, God will not
allow you to go through something without providing a solution. There's always a solution to whatever situation.